It is about 4:14 now on Wednesday, E-Day. All three of the E's, the economy, energy, and the environment. This is the energy section of the program, and I am so pleased to welcome to the program Nobel laureate, biochemist, Dr. Peter Agre, graduate of Augsburg. We're very glad to have the hometown kid back in town. Thanks. Nice to see you, sir.
Thanks, Don. It's great to be back.
Tell me how you spent the day today.
Well, I started the day with a nice jog down the river road, trying to decide which of my body parts would freeze first. Minnesota still is cold in February. Then I had a wonderful, wonderful morning up at the Sartec industry plant in Anoka, where they're turning waste lipid into energy by a novel process.
What's a lipid?
A lipid is a chemical term for a fat molecule. It could be any of a variety of fats, the fat under our skin, the fat in vegetable matter, cooking oil.
So you could find it occasionally in some algae, too?
Well, in fact, that's exactly right. Algae in the August weeks will float to the surface of the lake because they're filled with a lipid. It's lighter than water. It causes them to float. And all living creatures have some lipid, some fat molecules.
And within the lipid, there is something that can be turned into a transportation fuel through the magic of this Magaian process. Is that right?
Absolutely. The lipid in the algae is chemically not that different from the lipid in the fat cells of our body that are storing calories.
So is this a process? There are a lot of processes. You open up a Popular Science magazine or Popular Mechanics, or you read almost any magazine, and here's some water that you can stick into your gasoline tank, and this will extend your driving and increase your miles per gallon. But as a scientist, when you take a look at this process, which is completely different from any other kind of refining process that we've known over the years. When we drive by Pine Bend, we see all of these giant smokestacks and carrying off, trying to produce from fossil fuels, the gasoline and diesels and naphtha, coke at the very bottom. This is a process that has been invented that breaks the mold on refineries, right?
Absolutely. So the burning of fossil fuels, of course, is the consuming of energy that lay in the earth for tens of thousands, if not millions of years. So this is not a sustainable way of generating energy. Biofuels, of course, are prepared from carbon dioxide converted to sugars in plants. And so the conversion of, for example, corn to alcohol is a bioconversion. But the Magaian process is something very different. By and large, the generation of biodiesels has been done by very old technology, actually not that different from the preparation of lutefisk. Sodium hydroxide, you're laughing, but you know it's true. Sodium hydroxide will break fats apart and make detergents. That's why the lutefisk sort of is a little slippery. Well, in the preparation of biodiesel, this is toxic. And the Magaian process is an extremely clever idea that worked beautifully. It's a 21st technology for the preparation of biodiesel. This should change how biodiesel preparations is done everywhere. And it's a discovery that occurred here in Minnesota.
I don't want to change the subject, but it seems to me that the production of lutefisk is very similar to the production of soap. Well, get enough lye together with enough animal fats, you can come up with something.
You're exactly right, and that's why these lye-soaked codfish would not decay in the long ocean voyages, because no bacteria with any self-respect would eat a lye-soaked codfish.
Coming off of a news story that will be published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science, from the University of Minnesota's Institute on the Environment, that corn ethanol is maybe not the best way to go in this, and many people in the business of energy have always looked at corn ethanol production as a bridge of a new technology until we finally develop something that finally works. There's also the issue that has been raised in the last 2 years about food for fuel. And so my question to you is whether food for fuel is a concern in the large scale, and whether the Magaian process can bypass that.
Well, I think the conversion of food for fuel is a temporary solution to an urgent issue. It will get us through the current times, and there's some value to that. On the other hand, a long-term sustainable energy independence we can't be burning our food. I mean, every farmer knows you need to reserve grain for the planting of the future crops. And to consume everything now is a bad idea. And, of course, it drives up the cost of food, which maybe for you and me is not such a factor. But for plenty of working families, it is a big factor. We can't continue to double, quadruple the cost of our food sources to produce energy if we could do it in any other way.
Tell me how the Bagayan process got started.
Well, the Bagayan process is a scientific discovery that is really a brilliant development. The Sartec Industries, of course, here in Minnesota, have been looking for alternative methods to generate energy for some years. But they collaborated with two young scientists, one not so young, Arlen Guyberg, my former professor at Augsburg College, and a young Cloquet High School graduate at Augsburg College named Brian Crone. And they developed a chemical method for breaking the lipids cleanly and not producing detergent, but producing an esterified fatty acid, basically biodiesel, in one clean step. It's sustainable. It's efficient. There are no toxic side products. It doesn't require water. This is a genius step forward in the preparation of biodiesels.
Well, Nobel laureate Dr. Peter Agre is with us right now, and this is the energy portion of the Wednesday E-Day, when we talk about the environment and energy and the economy. But I think with Dr. Agre, we can talk about all three of those at once, because let's talk about the environmental portion of the Bagayan process. And I add to those people who are just joining us right now, the Bagayan process was invented right here in Minnesota by Minnesota people that develops a way of taking any kind of feedstock, but primarily that which we don't really care about, that which we have to dump or get rid of, whether it's waste or whether it's algae, whether it's something that comes off of an ethanol plant, if it's oils from a frying kitchen, whatever it is, they can produce through basically a catalytic converter. They can produce perfect, very efficient, and very clean diesel fuels that may answer the needs of the transportation industry. I think this has an environmental element to it.
Well, it certainly does. We're not taking any precious commodities and turning them into energy. We're turning waste into energy, which will then turn into CO2 and then be taken up back into algae in the form of through photosynthesis into glucose, which becomes lipid. So this is really part of the natural environmental cycle.
One of the things that I find most fascinating about this, and it is a growing concern in the United States, is water conservation. Even if you look at an ethanol plant, regardless of what your opinion is on that, a lot of water is being used in an ethanol plant. A lot of water is being used in nuclear electric production. There is water being used in slurries for an enhanced oil recovery, for the development of tar sands. A lot of water is being used, and that water being used oftentimes can't be used again. But the Bagayan process and the production of diesel fuels doesn't use hardly any.
Oh, that's correct. It's been said that in the 21st century, water will be the most precious resource. And a large-scale production of a biofuel that requires large-scale infusions of water, of course, is at a great disadvantage. That's water that could be used for human consumption, for crops, for any of many important tasks. So the Bagayan process is a catalytic conversion where, in fact, water does not play a role. And that's pretty rare in chemistry, but it also is a great advantage because we will not be consuming any precious groundwater for this process. It's a non-toxic generation of a biofuel.
And it's a closed loop, which I like, too. It has whatever electricity it has to use, it can generate through its own generators by the production of the diesel fuel, the electricity that it needs to run the operation. So it is completely closed. It doesn't require outside energy.
That's where I think the genius of the small business comes in. The Sartec operation is very innovative. They actually warm the plant with the product they're making. So, in fact, it is a closed loop. They're generating biodiesel, biofuels, but they're not consuming from the environment or energy sources from the community. So it's a very efficient method. And again, it's an example of, I think, we're both educational bodies, such as Augsburg College, the University of Minnesota, and the small business, when they get together, they can actually change the course of history. And this has happened repeatedly in Minnesota. And Medtronic is an example. Educational group, small industries get together and make monumental discoveries and bring them to the public.
When we come back with Dr. Peter Agre, as we continue on Wednesday E-Day, the discussion of the economy, the environment, and energy, I want to ask, because Dr. Agre was asked to be one of the science advisors in the campaign of President Barack Obama, and what is the future of this kind of research? And if you'll stick around for that, I'd love to talk to you about it.
Great.
Nobel laureate Dr. Peter Agre is with us right now. We're talking about the Magaian process out of Sartek, just up in Anoka right now. Could be very similar to this discovery of the transistor or the telephone. The breakthrough is of that magnitude in the production of new fuels for the United States. We'll be back in just a moment on WCCO News Radio 830. Thank you very much for being with us on Wednesday E-Day. This is Don Shelby, everyone. Thank you very much for being with us. Dr. Peter Agre is with us right now, graduate of Augsburg College and Johns Hopkins now. He is an advisor, has served as an advisor for President Barack Obama. And now the president has a Congress that is basically on his side. Many people are looking forward to some great advances through the United States federal government in terms of incentivization for both businesses and for consumers to try to get a scalable economy, to try to make these new technologies grow as quickly as possible. For those people who believe that global warming is one of the problems, not just energy dependence, they argue that maybe we only have 20 years to get a scalable economy that might take otherwise, left on its own to market pressures, 40 years to develop. We don't have that much time. Do you think that based on the kind of work that you have done with those people who are sitting right next to the president advising him on science matters and on energy, that the Magaian process will reach his ears?
Oh, I have no question that President Obama will be made aware of this, but there are other technologies as well. I think he has assembled around him, though, a scientific dream team. Literally, this is like when JFK had Jerome Wiesner, the president of MIT, at his side in the White House. He has the best scientists at his elbow who will advise him on these issues. But these are very difficult issues and important issues. And I think the concern is that we have to solve all of the urgent things now is very real. But some of these issues, such as energy independence, are like the problems that the Native Americans had when they considered a problem that it's not only affecting us today, but it'll affect seven generations in the future. And it may take that time frame before we start to see the benefits of these actions. So I think it's important to get started now. I think he has the best and the brightest set aside. I know John Holdren, the president's principal science advisor, an eminent plasma physicist who became an environmental scientist, Harold Varmus, a Nobel Prize winner in the White House, Stephen Chu, Secretary of Energy, again, a Nobel Prize winner. These are extremely good scientists.
That makes me somewhat more comfortable with the idea that the president will move on these issues. But let's be frank about it. He's got some very hot potato issues right now that will command his attention before we can look for venture capital or federal government incentive programs. He's got to solve the economic problem.
That's absolutely true. And these problems are all interwoven. And there's some things that will need to be addressed immediately and others that may take some time.
Dr. Peter Agre, thank you very much for being with us today. Thanks, and welcome back to town. Now you're going out on the Vasalopet.
Yeah, on Sunday.
And you were telling me there is some science in exactly how you will expend your energy.
Yeah, that's right, but I won't give away any waxing secrets. Those are classified.
You can tell me off the air then.
Sure.
Thank you very much for being with us, sir.
Thank you, Don.